a lot of the stuff that we did back in the day, I look and cringe. I almost want to apologize to some of these athletes, right? Like, hey, I kind of screwed you up a little bit because I was teaching you X when I really should have been teaching you something else.
Cool, let's do that again. Okay. So get that on tape.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay.
We are Uncharted Performance. I am Paul Wenzel. We are here with Mark Canella of Columbus Weightlifting. Before we get to Mark, we just want to thank Great Lakes CrossFit.
Yes.
And Patrick Flannery.
Correct.
For making this happen. You were here today.
Yep.
To do a seminar. How did that seminar go?
Great seminar. People learned all about the lifts. And a little bit about the philosophy of Columbus Weightlifting. So I think they had a great time.
Okay, awesome. So we're about to get into all that is Columbus Weightlifting after my quick spiel. So make sure you go to unchartedperformance.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If you don't, we're running a bunch of cool giveaways from a few of our affiliates, including Rogue Fitness and Wad Nation. So if you don't subscribe, you're probably missing out. And if you're on our website right now, below us, either the video or the actual embedded podcast, there's some products that we could recommend that could help you probably in your lifting endeavors. Also, if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review. If something that we did you didn't like, something that Mark said you didn't like, let us know how we can improve in the future. But we were reminiscing just yes. before we get started. So I'll start off with that is that Uncharted Performance is coming up on one year birthday. And Mark Canella was one of the first people to give us a shot. We went into the Arnold last year, basically nothing. We didn't have a website. I think we had a website, but there was nothing on it. We had a Facebook page, there was nothing on it. And we applied for the media credentials to cover weightlifting and strongman. And you were one of the key people that got us those credentials. We had our first conversation was not as necessarily pleasant as we've grown. I think yes. we've become better friends over the past year. But I just want to thank you for being one of the, you know, I would say handful or not even that many people that kind of got us off to where we are. So thank you for that.
Appreciate it.
You are the president and coach at Columbus Weightlifting.
Yes.
Okay. If I get any of this wrong, just let me know.
Believe me, I'll tell you.
You've got over 30 years of experience in Olympic weightlifting as athlete, coach, and administrator. We apologize if you hear some boiler. It's kind of cold, so it might turn on. So we'll just try to speak up as that goes.
We can do that.
Yeah. And administrator, you've produced many international high-level athletes in Olympic weightlifting. You are one of the hardest working men in Olympic weightlifting because you not only coach, but you put on some of the top meets in the state of Ohio.
Appreciate that.
And in the country and arguably the world with the Arnold Classic. And like I said, a man that took a chance on us and let us in the doors at Arnold and kind of gave us our start. So let's take it from the top. How did you get started in weightlifting?
So my story in terms of getting started with weightlifting was probably back in the late 1980s. Not that there was video or something from a social media standpoint. So remember, it's before the internet, something on TV that I saw. Just one day that I woke up and said, hey, I want to learn more about the snatch, clean and jerk, the Olympic lifts. I had done some form of power clean in high school football way back in the day. But I just wanted to get involved more with the sport. Didn't know really anything about it. Just woke up and said, hey, how do I get involved? And in Columbus, Ohio, I called around to the local gyms. And none of them essentially allowed for Olympic lifting. None of them had chalk. And obviously you needed bumper plates and you needed chalk to do the sport. And lo and behold, there was just one place, and that was O'Brien's gym in Columbus, Ohio, that allowed one, chalk, which I knew was a good sign. And two, they said down in their basement they had bumper plates. So I thought, okay, this is the place I need to be. Went down to Livingston Avenue, James Road area, in Columbus, Ohio, walked in, And again, this was a gym, you think about the late 80s, 1989, and obviously a different feel from what you have today with CrossFit and the way the Olympic sport of with what weightlifting has done. And here it is in this gym that I walk downstairs after signing up, and I go down and I see this bar with these very old bumper plates that look like they're from the 1930s. And I'm looking around, and lo and behold, my first coach, Fraser Ferguson, who is world renowned in his own right, happens to come down the stairs, and he looks at me and says, "Hey, are you interested in with doing the Olympic lifts?" And I said, "Yeah, I came down here. It's the reason why." And that was my start of learning as an athlete the Olympic lifts from a guy that competed at the 1936 Olympic trials. He was beat out from the Olympics, took third place. The guy that was either second or first, if I remember correctly, was Harold Sakata. And you might not know that name, who that is, but if I told you from the James Bond series, Odd Job, if you remember the guy with the hat, the brim hat that would cut people's heads off, that was Harold Sakata.
Okay.
And Harold was a world-class lifter in his own
right.
Beat out Frazier. And that essentially was my start. Frazier went on and coached a lot of Pan Am teams. Was very good on that side also, but he was my first coach in Olympic style weightlifting, and that's how I got my start essentially in the sport.
Do you remember your first class, first session?
Like a competition?
No, just coming in and training, your first training session.
It was very classic in terms of me learning the lifts. Frazier had me do what's called a duck walk, and I won't demonstrate it here, but if you're familiar with the sport, you squat down in overhead position and you start to duck walk like a duck with the bar over your head, and not only go front, but you also then he asked me to go and walk backwards. So I was able to do both the first workout, and he essentially said, "Hey, I think you can do the sport. We'll teach you the lifts," and it kind of went from there. So I started showing up regularly, probably 3 to 4 times a week, working with him on the lifts, and that was my first start, my involvement with the Olympic lifts. And I knew then that's what I wanted to do. It was something that work-wise, I had a good career, but I knew that somehow I had to fit the Olympic lifts part of in terms of what I was doing with work, where it was something that would become more important as I moved along, that I quit these careers along the way, and probably a lot of money, but ultimately it was something that I knew that I had to do. And it was, hey, the first time that I felt like I had something in terms of a direction. Okay. And it was something that I felt this was where I wanted to go with this.
I usually ask this question, that why? What was it about the sport that you kind of, I guess, fell in love with pretty quickly?
I think it's just like anything else. It's a thinking person sport. Mm-hmm. It's like golf. There's a lot of technique, a lot of analysis, a lot of mental power and things that you have to do in that regard, as opposed to another sport where maybe it's just reliant upon your physical abilities, that sometimes if you had equally matched athletes, that is the mental side of things and understanding the technique, that the person that's not the biggest person actually is the one that could win in their weight division. And I think many people gravitate towards that, especially high school people and college people that go on. If you look at world-class athletes, many of them have higher advanced degrees, and the way their education goes, it lends towards that thinking side of things with the technique as opposed to just brute strength. And not to say that there's anything wrong with those type of sports, but when you look at those athletes, it really is predicated on mental than more physical than anything else. And that's kind of the neat part about the sport, that we're constantly thinking about technique. And then the first time that you set a personal record, what are you thinking? Hey, I want to add more weight and get to that next step. So yeah, it's a constant battle.
Okay. How early in your training career, or when in your training career did you start thinking about competing?
So I would say probably about a year in, as I was working with my coach and some of the other athletes that competed along at O'Brien's, they brought up, hey, there's a state championships, Ohio State championships. And that was one of my first meets competing, was at the Y Park lifting at one of those competitions. So trepidation, a little bit scared, all those things, thinking about what I would do. Way back in the day, this is VHS tape. We had taped this competition and I had it. And somewhere along the line, this tape got taped over. So I'm a little bit disappointed, right? It's not like now where you have something forever. Unfortunately, this first competition that I did decently well for what I was doing in my weight class, but it's gone, right? And it's kind of a bummer. I think back, this one, I really like to preserve this and put this on something in terms of social media, but it's now forever gone. But that being said, it was a lot of fun. Met some of the people that even today, all these years later, still work with in terms of relationships at the Arnold and other competitions. And that's kind of the neat part, that some of those people today are still involved with the sport.
Very cool. So it's a, from my experience, it's a very tight-knit community.
Yes.
Even not locally, but nationally as well.
And definitely.
We'll get into it a little bit later on globally, which you would do a lot of work. So I'm very interested in that.
Okay.
How far along did you think you can coach? Let's say you're training, you're competing. When do you start thinking, hey, I actually want to coach this stuff?
Great question. Again, another unique story in terms of my coaching, maybe compared to somebody else. Lifting along the way, I got involved with some other coaches and decided to move out west. So I went to the Calpians with Washington, the state first, and then moved down to Los Angeles to work with Bob Decano. And along the way, as I worked with Bob Decano, because there was such emphasis on the technique in talking about the movement patterns, I got more involved with, half the time as I was training, I was sort of looking at other athletes and saying, okay, good technique, maybe not so good technique, what are the reasons why, and asking those questions. So I think that seed was probably planted at that point of what makes the difference in some of these athletes in terms of getting to that world-class level compared to maybe just a national level. Okay. What's that next step? And so that seed was put in there. And then when I eventually moved back, decided, hey, I've gone as far as I can go as an athlete. This probably is not my next step, but instead I need to finish school and do something work-wise and get involved with weightlifting back home. That's when I ran into Dan Bell, who was running Columbus Weightlifting, okay, and started it back 1998, 1999. Yeah. I got involved about 2000. And the classic story is, why did I become a coach? When I first came in, I lifted more weight essentially than anybody else in the club. So Dan then said, well, then you should become the coach. But I asked why, and he said, well, you lift more weight. And I thought, is that a really good reason to be a coach? But it's worked out along the way, but it's certainly maybe a different side of, hey, why'd you become a coach? Well, it's because I lifted more weight than anybody, right? And then that's how I got involved with the sport in terms of the coaching. Took some of the first classes that USAW, United States Weightlifting, in terms of the application of being a coach. Hey, you have to produce X amount of athletes, and that was way back 2001, 2002. That was the start of us in terms of Columbus Weightlifting to produce athletes. And just like Malcolm Gladwell, when they talk about 10 years or 10,000 hours, although Malcolm got that actually from somebody else, that sort of linear line of trying to make that work, you look back 10, 15 years, and you see the progression of the athletes. And that's kind of the cool part.
Okay. How have you evolved as a coach since you started coaching?
So it's just like anything else. You always want to learn. Uh-huh. You want to take classes, coaching, in terms of symposiums and those type of things. So definitely evolved in terms of the technique, in terms of philosophies. A lot of the stuff that we did back in the day, I look and cringe. I almost want to apologize to some of these athletes, right? Like, hey, I kind of screwed you up a little bit because I was teaching you X when I really should have been teaching you something else. And you learn along the way. Now, the people that suffer because of the learn process in terms of what you're doing, that learning application, are some of the athletes that I thought I was doing the right thing with it. Probably not teaching them such good technique, and what are you going to do? But you learn along the way, and you can see the evolution and the progression of the athletes in terms of them getting better, placing higher at a state meet, national meet, international meet, and that sort of solidifies what you believe in terms of good technique compared to when you first started to what you're thinking 15, 16 years later now.
Can you pinpoint anything, just one example, in terms of how you taught something when you first started back in 98, 99 versus to now, the way you teach something?
Probably technique-wise, one of the things that we taught in terms of thrusting of the hip and the way the hip opens up, I was a big believer of the shift and basically almost a scoop-type motion in terms of you'd be on your front of the foot too soon. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we believed in terms of almost banging the bar in terms of the way we would move from the second pole as you drove into the third. And sort of with disastrous results in terms of what we were doing, that would be probably a highlight of what not to do. And along the way, we've learned as, again, taking these classes and courses, talking with other coaches, learning along the way, going to international competitions, observing, going to some of the training halls, sitting in the back, just watching and seeing how the athletes move. Those things solidified for me. Probably 2009, 2010, I felt like I understood the technique much better. But think about it. That's almost 10 years yeah. of just coaching on top of some of watching athletes all along the way moving. And then at some point, okay, this is what I believe is good technique based on certain things and working and testing those applications out with the athletes and then going from there.
Yeah, plus the time you spent as an athlete yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
And again, it's kind of the same thing. I cringe a little bit when I look at some of my technique and go, what the hell is I doing yeah. here? I should have been doing X or Y. And a lot of missed opportunities as far as I was concerned in terms of the things that I thought were correct. From the jerk, some other things in terms of the technique and what I thought I could improve. But you can't look back. You can only move forward in terms of the technique mm-hmm. and apply it to the athletes so at least they get the benefit of things that I learned along the way.
Is it more about being exposed to different ways or different thoughts about coaching, or is it just new things or new approaches being developed in the sport? I mean, has the sport evolved, or is it just different? You were basically able to connect with different people that looked at the lifts differently.
I think it would be a little of both. And the classic answer, it depends, right?
Oh, yeah.
You look at this, but the sport continues to evolve. So I'll give you an example. The jerk, many times we talk about being back towards the heel and not being on the full foot to drive. I think the back foot hitting before the front foot on the jerk, those type of things have evolved in terms of technique. And if you look at athletes even 10, 15, 20 years ago and compare their technique to now, there's certain differences. Keep in mind, different country, different program, different athlete, those changes, Chinese technique, Russian technique, Turkish, whatever it may be, there's changes there. But the other side of things, again, the coaches themselves, in terms of me picking up and sitting around, let's say after a competition, going to a bar, having a drink mm-hmm. or two, and talking to some of these coaches and the athletes themselves to understand a little of the differences of early 2000s when I would do that at a local meet compared to even at an international meet, is to pick up those nuances as coaches. What are their strategies? What are the things that they're thinking about? What do they think about technique? So you learn a lot from the coaches, but the technique has certainly evolved from even the early 2000s to 2017 now. You see those differences, and I've showed you video and tape. You would see even differences across a wide body of athletes compared to what they did then, compared to what they okay. do now.
And do you think it will continue to evolve
yeah.
and innovate?
It's just like, think about basketball or football. We look at different defenses and offenses to attack things. And you see, for example, in football, for a few years, you heard that wildcat in yeah. terms of the quarterback. Well, that went on it was the rage. And then defenses got smart. And then they stopped that, just like bank robbers and banks, right? The bank robbers figure out a way, and then the banks come along with more security. Bank robbers get smart about it. They figure out a way to hack into something, and then the banks get smarter, and so on and so on. So it's a constant evolution. Not that I would advise you to break into a bank, but you get the idea yeah. that it's a constant learning process, and things change, and you take advantage of athletes in terms of the styles with the technique. And it certainly, just along the way, the next 5 years, there might be a new breakthrough in terms of the way we pull or the way you push to the floor or whatever it may mm-hmm. be, and it'll serve as an advantage to everybody.
Awesome. How would you describe your coaching style? Before you answer, there's a quote that I want to, and I'm going to read it off.
Okay.
Just to make sure that I get it right. You're quoted as saying to one of the athletes.
this might be scary, so I'm going to laugh here a little bit.
That lift was 50% less fucked up than the last one. I thought it was funny, and there's humor, and I think
right.
for myself, I appreciate that. I don't know if everybody else would, but how would you describe your coaching style based on that?
So again, I think humor is a big thing in uh-huh. terms of the technique, keeping the positive keeping it light aspect of trying to get them to think about what they're trying to do as opposed to what they're not going to do. And so when you talk about the improvement, people understand, hey, I just improved. I might be at the bottom of the barrel, but I went up 50%, right? A positive thing, but keeping it light with the humor of, hey, you were fucked up before with all that, right? Excuse my French, but now you've improved considerably based on where we were at to where we were going. So a lot of the non sequiturs, a lot of some of the stuff that I say, I'll recite back to movies, 80s, 90s, whatever type of mm-hmm. movie, where some of my athletes that were born right late 90s and early yeah. 2000s, they're going, what the hell is he talking about? What movie is this? But I forced them to basically understand my humor a little bit.
Okay.
Definitely.
So that translates well with the athletes.
I think it translates well. And again, it's kind of fun. Sometimes they give me all the look, what the hell is he talking about? But after I explain it a little bit, they get it. But that's the fun part.
Okay.
It definitely is.
What do you get out of coaching?
Great question. In terms of me, just the purest side of things, the fact that you have athletes that, let's say they walk in and their total is 200. And as they progress along, they start to go from that 200 to 205 to 210 to whatever that total is. They qualify for a certain team or they start to move up. There's nothing for me just more satisfying than watching that athlete improve along the way. And whether it's a ranking from a state level, national level, international level, that the fact that they came into our gym and worked the technique and got stronger and started doing this in a manner that basically whatever they were doing before, they went to a lot of different coaches or programs, and here they are at Columbus Weightlifting and they're improving in this manner. That basically at the end of the day is probably one of the most things in terms of just how I feel intrinsically, hey, that we're providing this to them and it really helps them to move along the way.
What have you learned about yourself from being an athlete to then being a coach?
That I'm pretty critical with my athletes more than I realize. Okay. So a lot of times as you're, let's say I was teaching you the lifts, that I am constantly looking for perfection, probably more than I realize. Hey, do it again. You need to do this. You need to do that. That my athletes apparently think that I'm almost driving them harder than I realize, when I'm really just looking for better technique because I know they're going to be able to lift more weight if they do the technique correctly. So it's something for me that I've learned along the way that maybe I'm a little bit harder and need to pull back a little bit. Do it again, do it again, do it again, right? Karate Kid type of adage that I need to step back and just let that process happen. But I'm always looking at every single one of those lifts, looking for that little thing that helps that athlete to be that much better.
Is there an end in sight? Because you've been in the sport for, like I mentioned, over 30 years, different capacities.
Right.
Is there an end in sight?
I jokingly say I'm going to do this till I'm dead.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll get through this next Arnold as we're going in a few weeks. But yeah, I plan on doing this really till whenever that time is. And I don't see anything happening differently.
Uh-huh.
That is my goal, is to continue this along. Now, that being said, with my girlfriend, I'm pulling back a little bit with some of the trips and things that I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
If I don't do that, I'm going to be in trouble. So okay. I want to make sure that's on tape.
All right, perfect.
But yeah, I plan on doing this, and I love it to this day. Again, I'm at this class. I've had a blast. We had great improvements along the way. I have as just much satisfaction today as I did when I first started doing classes way back when. And the fact that we're pushing these athletes forward, it gets them excited. It gets me excited. And again, to have that improvement and that aha moment where the light bulb goes off and they feel what we're supposed to do in the lift and they feel their hip correctly or whatever it is, I walk out of here going, okay, I've done my work.
Okay. So before we take a break, since we're actually, you just finished up a seminar today.
Yes.
Right? Can you just, you know, talk to people that might be watching, talk to people through that might be watching or listening, what a typical seminar with you as the teacher, the coach looks like?
So for Columbus Weightlifting, for our own courses, we really work the technique from the Ruta to the Tuga. So something that they're going to look at when they sign up, we're going to show them in terms of the Columbus Weightlifting three-stage motion in terms of what we believe should be good technique for the snatch, for the clean, and then also for the jerk. And we cover that in great detail. Easy to teach, easy to learn. So as a coach, they're going to see also what we call assessment and correction. They're going to be able to fix in terms of an athlete, let's say, for example, hops forward, or if they do something in the pull motion where the bar kicks out. Them as a coach, they're going to be able to see the same things and understand we're going to pull those tools out to help as a coach to fix whatever it is that helps that athlete to move more efficiently and ultimately more effectively. And that's really whether we do 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, 2 days working on technique. And that's basically the driving force with what we do with our Columbus Weightlifting courses.
Okay. I think you might already answer one of my questions from the second half.
Good.
But we're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back with Mark.
Okay.
All right, cool. Welcome to the intermission, the most epic intermission you will ever watch or listen to.
Very, very.
Very epic. We are actually sitting down, so it's not so epic, but we are taking a little break to take the opportunity to remind everyone a few quick items.
Item number one, head on over to our website, unchartedperformance.com. And sign up for the newsletter there.
If you don't, our man over here, Liam Neeson, will come and find you if you don't know Liam Neeson, you don't want to find out.
He's very scary. We're terrified of him. Also, if you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher, make sure you leave an honest 5-star review and a comment. You can do the same on YouTube if you're watching. You can like the video and leave a comment if you feel so inclined.
And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, on our screen you already see all our social media accounts and where you can follow us. But if you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher and you need that daily fix of Uncharted and everything epic about it, like us on Facebook at Uncharted Performance, same thing on Instagram at Uncharted Performance, and Twitter at Reach Uncharted. And last but not least, and probably most importantly, something very cool that we're doing for the upcoming episode, upcoming season and moving forward is
Patreon. Patreon is a very cool platform. It allows you, the viewer, the listener, to pledge to support us and get rewarded for it, of course. What we also chose to do with Patreon is to donate 10% of your pledges to A Better Chance. It is a program that helps youth or kids and young adults both to get better access to education.
So without further ado, make sure to subscribe, follow, comment, leave us feedback. The more, the better. Mm-hmm. And back to the show.
Thank you.
Enjoy, guys. Take care.
Oh, you're doing awesome. One time I hit, I thought I knocked, right? I was like, oh shit, I'm going to knock the coffee over. That's all, yeah, whatever.
All right, we're good. All right, we are back with Mark Canella, hanging out at Great Lakes CrossFit, where you had, like we mentioned before, a seminar this morning.
Yes.
You don't just hold seminars in Ohio and the U.S. You're Mark Canella worldwide. Talking about movie references.
Yes.
How did you take weightlifting, or how did you get involved in traveling and doing seminars all over the world?
Well, first off, I would have to thank Bill from Rogue Fitness, the owner and founder, as probably the impetus in terms of us teaching. He was the first one that reached out to us, asked us to do a course for, at the time, his CrossFit box. And at that time, the money that we made and the fact that we had a schedule and all the things that went with it was like, for me, a kid in a candy store of, wow, I can actually teach the sport, something that I would do on a regular basis with my athletes, but now apply it to CrossFit athletes, and in a day's time, make enough money for us. I took that money and applied it towards what we were doing for the Arnold. And that got me thinking. So this was way back when, 2007, 2008, that we did that first course. And it got me thinking more of, if I start doing this, maybe I can go around to different places and teach, start to modify what I was going to do in terms of the number of hours and those type of things in the audience. And that quickly grew. And as that grew, we had more of our actual coaches and athletes in our club that actually did the same thing. We had them teach in different places. And at some point, somebody reached out to me internationally and asked me to teach at a course. And for me, right, I love to fly. I love to be travel different places, and took that and applied those methods. And I thought those methods are going to work really well with these athletes, CrossFit athletes, strength and conditioning athlete, in terms of what we're teaching at Columbus Weightlifting. And it was well received. And from there, that word of mouth, just like any other in terms of discipline or vocation, you get good word of mouth and good marketing from, hey, we like what he taught. And it just continued on. So here we are X amount of years later, where we've taught in so many different places. And that is really what has led us worldwide, that we teach in all these different places consistently year in and year out. I will tell you that I think we have taught more of our Columbus Weightlifting courses and then ultimately USAW courses in terms of what they offer than anybody else has in the entire country, including worldwide. We were one of the first to travel outside of the country. We taught one of our courses in Thailand, and then from there in many other places. And since then, many other coaches have done the same thing, but we were one of the first, if not the first, that have done that. And again, it worked extremely well with all these different people from all these different countries, but applying the principles has worked really well. And that's when you sort of realize, hey, the technique that we're teaching and some of the fundamentals work no matter where you go, and the athletes that you see. Athletes are athletes.
Yeah.
And if they move well based on the positions, you're going to get a good result. Easy to teach, easy to learn. So it was great to realize, hey, I can travel to another country. I can be in Holland. I can be in Australia. I can be wherever. And those principles, even the Chinese, it works extremely well.
I'm going to dig a little deeper if you don't mind. Why do you think it works well? Because it's, you know, in the, I guess, the general media or the general public that maybe take an outside perspective on Olympic weightlifting, they're going to say, oh, the Chinese lift this way, the mm-hmm. Russians lift this way, Americans lift this way. But yet you're saying that we're taking, you're taking, you know, what you teach at Columbus weightlifting to all these different countries, and it's working. Why do you think that is? What aren't necessarily people seeing that you see, or are you able to teach or get across to those athletes from different countries?
So another phenomenal question, without getting too deep into the technique.
Yeah.
I would say it's not that we see or know something more than anybody else. I think it's just common principles of, if you think about the jump method in terms of the way you push off the floor, using your foot, the way we teach pushing away from the floor, we take some things that are already established and box and bottle those up into what Olympic weightlifting does and apply those, so an athlete or even somebody that's from the CrossFit or strength and conditioning side can understand some easy terms of, I just want you to push through the floor. This is the way I want you to move, how your hip and shoulder moves, the way your knee moves in conjunction with the way the lifts are for the snatch and the clean and the jerk. That resonates with them. So I think it's just more of, we've taken a lot of things that are out there and bottled it up for somebody to understand it real easily. The components of the way the movement is, the way that we teach it, I think works well. And we boil it down just to a few easy steps. So when you look at different styles of technique, somebody might say to you, well, Russian technique is the best. And I might say, well, okay, what makes it the best? And in addition, if you look at these athletes, look at when they start and how long it takes them years to get to that high proficiency level, I would tell you that, and argue almost, that Columbus weightlifting, in terms of the technique, that right out of the box turnkey, we can get you to a really good place very fast just by teaching this technique. And one of the things, just personally, when you talk about digging deep, I'll just say this. There was an athlete that went to a foreign country with some noted world-class athletes that are now coaches that taught this athlete certain techniques, and he got to a certain level during the seminars and the courses that he took with them, came back and actually worked with us, and we got him a personal record. And so for me, intrinsically, just like you were asking earlier about what makes me really feel very satisfied as a coach, the fact that this guy went to foreign people, and I won't say where, and coaches and athletes, and took the seminars and courses and all the things that went with it. Yet when he came back and worked with us, we got him a personal record as opposed to that other place.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that. So for me, that's the kind of driving force of digging deeper. I think we're just taking a lot of things that make sense.
And they work.
And they work, and they're established, but we put it together in terms of weightlifting related, and then use that towards what we're doing. And I think people will understand and resonate with certain cues, if you want to call it, and then we just put it towards weightlifting.
Be it in Thailand, Japan, yeah, Germany, wherever.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So we set these athletes in a certain position, and it's very specific to that full foot in terms of pushing and the way we've got them set up. Very easy to teach, very easy to learn. Some of the cues that we talk about, Columbus weightlifting, I'm using now, and it's going to apply to somebody in Japan, Thailand, wherever they're from, and they're going to understand how to do this movement because biomechanically, this is the way the body moves.
Okay. So there is a common language. You've created a common language, so to speak, that everybody can...
I don't know if I've created it, but
the one exists
we use
in weightlifting.
Yeah, I would say so, definitely.
So there isn't as much difference as people might think or publicize or create in terms of the different countries, how they necessarily lift.
Well, there's certainly different styles of technique. You could spend the next X amount of days and hours on end and discussing the differences in the technique. But lifters are lifters, and I guarantee you, and we're bullish enough to say this, if I brought a world-class athlete that had a different style, I think I could get the same result or maybe even better based on the technique model that we teach. And we feel very strongly about that.
Okay. So based on what you just answered, or your last your couple of comments, what makes a great coach, in your opinion?
So again, I think we could go on and on.
Because you've mentioned taking those individuals, and because that's that's the hardest thing. Anybody, if there's a beginner walking to the door and teaching them how to lift, and they'll hit PRs.
Sure.
You know, for the first 6 months, 6 to 12 months.
It's that after that next six months, then to the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it may
be. Continued progress in an athlete.
Exactly. So many people that take other courses, they get a pound or a kilo PR and they think, okay, this is great. But just like you said, what happens in the next 6 months? I think one of the things that makes a great coach is the fact that if you look back at a year later, how much they've improved in terms of whether it's the mental side, physical side, and just overall where their standing is in terms of what they're doing, whether it's on, again, local level, state level, national level, whatever it may be, even international level, and how they've improved along the way. I think that's a big stalwart of a coach. What is your markers in terms of goals and when this athlete walks in, and compare them to where they are now? I think that's one of the biggest marks of a great coach. You can talk about all the other stuff. Let's say you talk about basketball with Coach K and some of the others. They talk about the education and how they mold these young men or young women in terms of being better in terms of society stuff and maybe from school. But for us, I think the bottom line is to be a great coach is you taking an athlete. And again, we're very proud of this for Columbus Weightlifting, that they had a certain total, and here they walk in, and we start working with them, and lo and behold, where somebody might have said this was at their peak, and we've taken that athlete and taken that next step, whatever that next step is, and improved upon that total based on the technique model.
What are some of your biggest challenges teaching overseas, besides language?
Well, okay, so other than language, I think it's that preset mind of, well, I took this course, that course, and I think this technique is correct. And so instead of me saying to them, hey, try this, it's a little bit different, but I want you to work on this, they might say, okay, I believe in the Chinese techniques, therefore I want to be more in the front of the foot, and they will never accept another thought process. It would be me as a coach to basically never have somebody else show me something that actually might work, and I can include another tool in my tool belt as I go to say in terms of teaching that I would incorporate to what I'm doing. I think that's probably one of the most difficult things is a preset notion of how technique is for somebody that's actually taking a course.
So
that's
being narrow-minded.
Being narrow-minded.
Break that resistance in somebody.
Yeah, to show them an opportunity. Here's one way of doing it, but here's an opportunity to do it another way that you've never done before that actually might work. Not only as an athlete, but also maybe as that coach that's watching going, hey, there's another way to, as we say, skin that cat that actually works.
Okay. Let's say I'm walking through the door, first time into Columbus Weightlifting. I'm brand new to weightlifting.
Okay.
I never picked up the bar.
Okay. I don't believe you, by the way, but okay.
What would you tell me, or what would you say to that athlete, that new aspiring athlete in Olympic weightlifting? What's the most important thing to keep in mind as you start your Olympic weightlifting journey?
That it's a completely unforgiving sport. It's negative, and it takes a lot of mental discipline. Seriously,
so you're going to be honest with
them. I'm going to be honest with them and say, look, you're going to be frustrated. There's going to be many days that you probably want to walk out of here because it's so frustrating to learn the technique. But just know if you, again, get through that heavy period of learning the technique and stay positive with it, that you'll get to the other side and then you'll really start to see the benefits. But as you're learning, it's going to take a lot of, again, that physical and mental in terms of preparation and have that strong mindset. So right up front, I tell people, you might get this in the first few days. It might be in the next few weeks. It might even be in the next few months, but you've got to be patient with the technique. I will tell you, when I first learned how to snatch, there were some things that I think back at my technique and I'm like, oh my gosh. But I didn't understand the snatch so well, and it took me between three coaches and many years, to really understand fundamentally what I was doing with the snatch lift. And there was a moment, and I can remember it's just crystal, where I was on the platform, how much weight it was, and what I was doing, where the bar just popped on its own almost. It was like that nirvana moment. And I said to myself, okay, I understand what I'm supposed to do with the snatch lift. Where all those years before, from my first coaches all the way through, I knew something was different. I'd watch other athletes and I'd say to myself, okay, I feel like I'm as strong as some of these athletes or as fast. I feel like I have the athletic ability, but I'm just not putting something together. And I didn't have somebody to really show me what I needed to do. And it wasn't until I got to one place that things started coming together. And it's like, okay, I understand this. And so that's something that to this day, kind of the same thing. It was years for me, but for me to tell you as you come through the door, oh, by the way, it's going to take you years on end to figure this out. You don't want to hear that. That's just me. So it is the explanation of the message that this is a tough sport. It's not for everybody, but if you be patient, stay the course, you'll pick this up. I'll teach you. You'll be fine. You just got to understand that there's going to be days where it's going to take you a little bit to get through some of that muckety muck. And before you know it, you'll be on the other side and you'll be doing some great work here.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if I'm a veteran of the sport and I'm just having a terrible time? Let's say I've been weightlifting for, you know, for 10 years. I've competed for a while. I just haven't, you know, I haven't had a PR in a couple years in either of the lifts. How do you deal with an athlete like that?
So
how do you approach an athlete like that?
So one of the classics, live to fight for another day. In the moment, it might be just that you go home, you rest, you take it easy for a day, and you're having a bad day. That would be one thing that just is a thin slice when you just said it. Another thing might be you change maybe the program style in terms of what you're trying to do and what you're trying to attempt to do that needs to be changed. Or it might be something in terms of maybe there's something that's going on in your life that hasn't been pulled out that's affecting you or affecting our relationship that we need to sit down and talk to, whatever it may be. So a lot of variables going on there in terms of what it may be that's causing you to basically get to that point. Or it might be that 10 years in, and again, this is reality, maybe you've reached the peak of your abilities and you're at that point where you've reached everything that you possibly can do. And if you look at world-class lifters, sometimes you see over in Olympics, they never improve. They get to the top of where they're at, their abilities. And then from that top, they seem to win though. So in other words, when you miss a lift, I make a lift. You make something, but I make 1 kilo more. So sometimes it's that mental side of that world-class athlete that's still totaling the same thing. Let's say it's 330. And that 330 total, sometimes 328, sometimes it's 329, sometimes it's 331, somewhere in that general area. But yet, I seem to make the list when I need to. It's not that I've improved physically, but on the mental side, when I need something, I've been able to make that lift when you've missed that lift. And so maybe that's something that you touch upon and reach into that 10 years in, you and I are at a place physically that you're as good as it gets, but mentally, when you need to go 6 for 6 or 5 for 6, you do that as opposed to having a poor meet and going 2 for 6 and really just getting beat. Yeah. Now you have that certain total, but you apply it at the right times and you win championships where if you miss one lift, you might be 8th place. Yeah. And the difference between a gold medal and 4th is not a lot. And you can see that.
Yeah.
Definitely can see that.
You've mentioned technique number of times.
Yes.
Numerous times. If we had a counter, we'd probably over 10 at this point. I want to play devil's advocate here for a second, because there is a school of thought out there that, you know, technique versus strength. Some will say that strength is more important and developing that first versus necessarily technique. Argue me over to the lighter side, I guess, to your side, to the technique side, away from strength.
Great question. So I'm thinking, right, good cop, bad cop, one side or the other side. And the strength component, so at one point, and hopefully I'll answer this correctly, I was more very, very technique and not so much strength. Again, as I've learned stuff and listened to other coaches and athletes along the way, I've really sort of looked at this a little bit differently in terms of the application of the lifts in terms of strength work. So I would say, for us going in, if I was looking at the one side, as your technique gets better, you're going to improve to your strength levels wherever they're at.
Okay.
If I flip it around, something that I've done differently recently on my program design is I've changed some things up that normally I had not done before, very classical with the lifts. Whereas now I'm more, hey, I feel like I've gotten that person technique wise as good as they're going to get, let's say, for example. Mm-hmm. And now I'm flipping on the side of, I would say yes to that person that says, maybe we need to get stronger, that I might start to change that. So for me, we talked about the evolution of technique, and I've said it many times. I'm now sort of, okay, I need to flip this a little bit and go down a road of strength position of the foot, position of the body to get stronger. What exercises can we do? Whereas before, I was very, my dogma was technique, 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 as you know. And I would look at that as the way to improve that athlete. So you're kind of fitting into my argument recently, and it's like you were sneaking in and looking at our workouts. I've changed my program design and started talking with more coaches of the strength component of my techniques, my technique. And if I can get stronger, that is going to allow me to lift more weight. And that is really going to what's going to get me on the medal stand, as opposed to I've got great technique, but I'm not strong enough to compete to get those last few kilos.
Yeah, I would say another quality of a great coach like yourself is the fact that you are open to evolving, not just getting those PRs after, you know, so many years, but being open to changing up your program design. If it's not working, you're confident in your ability to evolve, and you're open to evolving.
Yeah, definitely. As I've taken courses and symposiums along the way, you pick up those little kernels of truth, those pieces that help you to formulate what you believe in terms of producing athletes. And even recently, so last week, we taught a USAW level one course, the WSPCC, and Dan Brown, who was assisting with the teaching, was talking to that very thing. And what he had cited and talked about was the athletes that have come to the gym that have worked out so they can learn technique. So there was an Egyptian guy that came in. There was another guy that came in along the way. He talks about those opportunities. And they went out to Max's gym in California to learn a little bit more. And those are the type of things that I'm talking about, going to different places. I want to meet and talk with different coaches that, based on the technique and the program detail that I'm looking for, that would be like-minded, so I can start talking with them to understand they've produced levels at athletes at a higher level. I want to basically do the same thing. How do I get to that next step with these athletes? And so I'm planning on, at some point, with my girlfriend's permission, of course, to fly somewhere, is to go somewhere that I can do the same thing. And there's some things in terms of, just give you detail, some of the Korean athletes. So South Korea, I like the way they push on the floor. I like the way they move from their quad to their hamstring. A lot of things that I believe in when I look like at an Alex Lee and some of the other international athletes from Korea in terms of the United States. And then also, that is the type of thing that I say, okay, if I'm going to look at an athlete that fits my technique model, that really just epitomizes what I believe in, here are a few athletes. Let's talk to their coaches and understand how they program designed to get them at that level. So that would be kind of that next step for me.
Awesome. What is the next step? What's coming up next for Columbus Weightlifting? What's next for you, the team?
So right now, the Arnold for 2017, this is our 15th consecutive year. So this year, we're going to be spotlighting our Masters lifters, which we did from the very beginning, way back in 2003, but more of an emphasis on the prizes and scholarship and the monies that we're doing. This year, we hope to, again, be around $50,000. No other program, no other meet, no other, in terms of competition, gives away this much money compared to what we do, and we're a small nonprofit, but we've got a great group of sponsorship in terms of the companies that are like-minded. Obviously, Rogue is our title sponsor, so they do a phenomenal job with the equipment and the setup and the backdrop. It's great working with those in terms of that team, but then we have others, Caffeine and Kilos and some of the others that are just awesome, and putting that all together and realizing, hey, we've got this thing that all the money we make, we essentially give all away. And all these athletes are basically fighting and vying for world class in terms of prizes. Deserving athletes deserve basically this type of money and this type of, in terms of exposure. So for us, it's just a great thing. It's a labor of love that we do this year round. Yeah. But here it is, what is it, January 28th or whatever the heck date is. Yeah. I know basically in about 5 weeks, the Arnold will basically be our load in terms of moving in and setting up, and then having this great competition now for 4 days. And we'll have 300 plus athletes competing, some from the Olympics, some from American record holders and the like, that'll be vying for all this money.
Yeah. And if you have a chance, do check it out. If there is one reason to come to the expo, or just the Arnold Fitness Expo, which is massive now.
Yes. Strength Heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. The expo itself is just chaos.
Yes.
So if you want to stay away from the chaos, definitely make sure to check out the Olympic weightlifting. And if you do, get there early. Seats go very, very fast. So
it's packed.
Yeah, it gets packed.
Love it.
There's people out the door in the hallway.
Yep.
So definitely check it out. It's a great experience. We were there last year. I've been there in the past away from Uncharted. I just there to watch. So it's an amazing experience from a spectator standpoint. Maybe one day I'll get on the platform. But
hey, look, we would love to have you. If it helps, we'll give you a free entry for next year. So there you go.
Maybe too soon.
That should be incentive.
All right. Thank you. Where can people find you?
So social media wise, columbusweightlifting.org, on Facebook at Columbus Weightlifting, Instagram, Columbus Weightlifting, all those places they're going to find out about Columbus Weightlifting, or they'll find out about the Arnold. And for us, again, the Arnold is our next big thing. So we're looking again to make it bigger and better. That's one of the things that for the Arnold, Jim Lorimer, the director, always talks about each year bigger and better. You think about the first Arnold that we were at, 2003. We had a handful of athletes, no prize money, and now we're talking $50,000 plus. So we're extremely proud of that as a nonprofit to give away all the money to these deserving athletes. Nothing could be better than doing this. There is no other place on the planet that gives away more money than we do. And we like the fact that, again, as a nonprofit, no other competition can say that.
Awesome. And thank you for putting it on.
Cool. Well, thank you for attending. Like I said, appreciate you promoting it with everything that you guys do.
Thank you. And so if you want to connect with Mark and you're listening on iTunes, just hop over to our website, because we're going to link all that up in the show notes or on YouTube as well. So Mark, thank you for finally making this happen.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Well, no, not this.
Oh, sorry.
We got a fist bump. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys. Take care.